This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our Bulletin of Church News, in which we continue to look at the legacy of Pope Francis, that will be followed by Panorama, and then our feature of Health and Healing. Today we shall close with a segment dedicated to the Jubilee Year 2025. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Members of the College of Cardinals on Wednesday continued with their meetings of the General Congregation at the Vatican, where they have since April 22nd been discussing the needs of the Church and the world. At the same time, the Cardinals during the General Congregations have been preparing for the election of the new Pope in a conclave that starts on 7th May. In a special statement on Wednesday, the Cardinals invited the faithful to especially live this ecclesial moment as an event of grace and spiritual discernment and listening to the will of God. Devin Watkins has more.
180 cardinals participated in the 7th General Congregation in the new Synod Hall on Wednesday morning, of whom 124 were cardinal electors. The director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni, told reporters that the first part of the meeting focused on the financial situation of the Holy See. He said Cardinals Reinhard Marx, Kevin Farrell, Christoph Schönborn, Fernando Verges, and Konrad Krajewski all took the floor. In the second part of the General Congregation, 14 cardinals intervened on various topics. These included the ecclesiology of the people of God, synodality and episcopal collegiality as a way to overcome polarization, and vocations to the priesthood and religious life. The cardinals also read out a declaration asking the Catholic faithful to pray for them and their spiritual discernment for the man who will be the next pope. The cardinals said they feel the need to be supported by the prayers of all the faithful, since they are aware of their responsibility in choosing the next successor of Peter. Faced with the enormity of the task ahead and the urgency of the present time, said the cardinals, it is first of all necessary to make ourselves humble instruments of the infinite wisdom and providence of our Heavenly Father in docility to the action of the Holy Spirit. The cardinals noted that the Holy Spirit is the protagonist of the life of the people of God, the one to whom we must listen, accepting what he is saying to the Church. Separately, the cardinals announced that all 133 cardinal electors participating in the upcoming conclave have the right to vote for the new pope. They noted that the apostolic constitution Universi Domenici Gregis, which governs the conclave, allows 120 cardinals to vote. However, they said the late Pope Francis dispensed with that numerical limit by creating more than 120 cardinals under the age of 80. Therefore, declared the cardinals, all electors have the right to elect the Roman pontiff from the moment of their creation. I'm Devin Watkins.
Meantime, at the United Nations headquarters in New York, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres remembered the late Pope Francis in a special way. Speaking at an event reserved for the legacy of John Paul, Guterres praised the late pontiff for always having been a voice of peace in the world of war, reminding the conscience of the world of our moral duties. He said that Pope Francis was a constant message of hope.
His Holiness Pope Francis was a man of faith and a bridge builder among all faith. He was a champion of the most marginalized people on earth. He was a voice of community in a world of division, a voice of mercy in a world of cruelty, a voice of peace in a world of war. And he was a steadfast friend of the United Nations, addressing member states from this very podium in 2015. During that historic visit, he also spoke of our organization's ideal of, and I quote, a united human family living in harmony, working not only for peace, but in peace, working not only for justice, but in a spirit of justice, end of quote. On behalf of our UN family, I extend my deepest condolences to the Catholic community and to so many others around the world grieving this tremendous loss.
United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, remembering the late Pope Francis in a special way at an event at the United Nations headquarters in New York. The Holy See permanent observer to the United Nations Archbishop Gabriel Kacha was present at that event at the United Nations headquarters, and this is what he has to say.
There was the flag of the United Nations half-mast, a ceremony that has been repeated in all the posts of the United Nations throughout the world, a sign of respect, a sign of solidarity. And that has been also explained by words, by the participation of all the members yesterday at the commemoration of the General Assembly, in which the President of the General Assembly, the Secretary General, and all the member states in groups representative of the regions of the world have expressed their condolences. They paid homage to this great figure of Pope Francis, so beloved, because it was, as they said in many interventions, the people's Pope, close to every person. And they felt that they have lost somebody who, for sure, belongs to the Catholic community, to the Holy See. But in a sense, he was a father, a familiar figure for all people of all faiths, of all languages, of all cultures.
Holy See Permanent Observer to the United Nations, Archbishop Gabriele Gacha. In Angola, the Apostolic Nuncio there has eulogized the late Pope Francis as a Catholic Church leader who sought after souls as a good shepherd in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, after the example of St. Francis of Assisi. In his homily at the Requiem Mass in honor of the late Pope Francis on Monday, Archbishop Crispin Vitoud Dubiel reflected on the legacy of the late pontiff, describing him as a voice that echoed in the desert during his 12-year pontificate. During that period of Pope Francis, he said, the spirit blew with prophetic force. He tore off the garments of indifference. He denounced the throwaway culture and, with evangelical boldness, made the church a place of encounter where the last are first, where mercy is not a doctrine but a tender and welcoming embrace. The representative of the Holy See in Angola noted that the pontificate of the late Pope Francis was marked by a pedagogy of actions and gestures. Regarding the humility of Pope Francis, the Polish-born nuncio underscored the fact that Pope Francis kissed the feet of refugees and the feet of the peripheries at the center of the kingdom. His life was magnificence for the poor, a song of hope for those who walk together in the shadows of history, Archbishop Dubiel said. In conclusion, the Polish Vatican diplomat said that despite the grief felt by the Universal Church in general and by the Archdiocese of Luanda in particular over the passing of the shepherd of the Catholic Church, there is need to remain firm in faith and hope. In other developments, the Holy See Permanent Observer to the United Nations, Archbishop Gabriele Kacha, has recently addressed the third United Nations Preparatory Committee of the 2026 Review Conference of the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons. In his address to the Assembly, he said that comprehensive disarmament is the only way to lasting peace, and strongly reaffirmed the Holy See's unwavering call for global nuclear disarmament. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
A national conference of political actors in Mali has recommended naming the leader of the military junta, General Assimi Goïta, as president with a 5-year mandate. Following a dialogue held in the capital Bamako on Tuesday, the conference also recommended the dissolution of all political parties and the tightening of conditions for the creation of new parties. Mr. Goïta seized power following coups in 2020 and 2021. The 41-year-old has served in an interim role as president of the Transition of Mali
since the last coup 4 years ago. The recommendations are expected to be applied in the coming days. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, hundreds of soldiers and police officers, along with their families, were transferred from the rebel-controlled eastern city of Goma to the capital, Kinshasa, the International Committee of the Red Cross said on Wednesday. The soldiers and police officers have been taking refuge at the base of the UN Stabilization Mission in Congo since January, after Rwandan-backed M23 rebels advanced and seized the strategic city of Goma. On Tuesday, Rwanda escorted the troops of a Southern African force through Rwandan territory to Tanzania as they pulled out from the eastern part of the DRC. The Southern African Development Community, or SADC, which groups 16 states, said in mid-March it had terminated the mandate of its mission and would begin a phased withdrawal of its force from Congo. The force was sent to assist Kinshasa's fight against rebel groups in Congo's east in December 2023, prompting protests by the Rwandan government, which said the deployment will aggravate the conflict. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
You are welcome to this week's edition of Health and Healing. In our edition 2 weeks ago, we examined insomnia, which is a disorder where a person struggles to fall asleep. We showed that majority of people who suffer from insomnia find it difficult to get sleep, while others wake up several times at night and experience difficulties in getting sleep again. Once it has been diagnosed by a qualified medical doctor, insomnia can be treated. Short-term insomnia tends to go away on its own, but long-term insomnia may require medication. The treatment depends on the type of the condition. Short-term insomnia, also known as acute insomnia, which is often caused by emotional stress or anxiety, can be treated either by going to bed earlier or by taking some simple sleep medicine that should be prescribed by a qualified medical doctor. Transient insomnia, which is often caused by an existing medical condition, is also treated by taking medicine which induces sleep. The medicine must be prescribed by a qualified medical doctor. Chronic insomnia, also known as long-term sleep disorder, is caused by an underlying medical condition such as asthma, sleep apnea, pain, menopause, and anxiety. Certain medications and stimulants such as alcohol, drugs, chemotherapy, medicines for cold and allergies, antidepressants, and lifestyle patterns such as rotating shift work, frequent travel across multiple time zones, physical inactivity, frequent daytime siestas, and a poor sleeping environment. This type is usually treated by undergoing psychological and psychiatric sessions. Insomnia can be prevented by limiting the amount of caffeine, alcohol, and tobacco that we take. It is advisable that we don't drink coffee or alcohol or smoke before we go to bed. People are also advised to practice good sleep hygiene or habits by limiting screen time in the bedroom and by avoiding to navigate their mobile phones before they go to sleep, and to make sure that when they go to sleep, their bedrooms are quiet, dark, and have optimum temperatures that do not make them feel hot or cold. And lastly, Catholic bishops in Uganda have called upon the government and the public at large each to do their part to prevent new HIV/AIDS infections in the country. The call is contained in a pastoral letter, "The Truth Will Set You Free," that the Uganda Catholic Bishops' Conference issued before Easter. The first HIV case in Uganda was reported in 1982. In the years that followed, AIDS killed hundreds of thousands of people, but government, assisted by development partners, managed to reduce the infection rate, especially by putting in place awareness programs and measures that reduced mother-to-child transmission. However, in recent years, medical experts have noticed an increase in infections, particularly among certain key population groups and regions. Bishop Joseph Anthony Zwa is the president of the Uganda Catholic Bishops Conference.
We are cognizant of the significant drop in new HIV infections and AIDS-related deaths in the country in the past decade, partly attributed to the extensive rollout of HIV treatment and prevention services. However, HIV epidemic control has not yet been attained, with new HIV infections and AIDS burden still very high. A total of 1,492,407 Ugandans are living with HIV, and with 730 infections every week and 20,000 deaths, adolescent girls and young women continue to have high HIV incidence. Such a situation is disturbing, as funding for HIV/AIDS services from domestic and external sources have declined currently.
The Catholic Church in Uganda has the biggest number, better managed, and the best health facilities in the country. The bishops have committed themselves to do their part in their pastoral work and through church health facilities to raise more awareness about HIV and AIDS.
We bishops appeal to all stakeholders in the country, right from cabinet, parliament, local governments, civil society, development partners, the private sector, and the communities, to play your respective roles. In that way, we will all work to end this horrible epidemic. As a church, we are committed to creating awareness and providing health services among our people through our pastoral work, and encourage citizens to test for HIV/AIDS and those positive enroll for treatment. We call for self-control and living a responsible life.
In the pastoral letter, the bishops also expressed concern about the increase in maternal and infant mortality rates in Uganda, and appealed to stakeholders to increase women's and children's access to appropriate health services and to avail medicines.
More can be achieved with investment in the health sector to ensure all Ugandans, especially the weak and vulnerable, enjoy the precious gift of life. This requires sustainable financing mechanisms to enhance availability and affordability of medicine and good services. The Church remains committed to mobilizing the masses, to contributing to the national health insurance to guarantee universal health coverage.
Bishop Joseph Anthony Zwa of Kinda Mitiana Diocese and the President of the Uganda Catholic Bishops Conference. And that was Health and Healing for this week. This has been Johnny Baptist Tumusime.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025. Hello,
welcome to our segment of today's program, Pilgrims of Hope, as we continue to pray for the peaceful repose of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, who was called home by the Eternal Father exactly 10 days from today. My name is Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, and I'm here once more to accompany you on this pilgrimage of hope as we continue to remain hopeful even in the uncertainty and mysterious aspects of life. Following the death of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, in the early hours of Easter Monday, 21st April 2025, some adjustments were made for the Jubilee of Adolescents, which was to take place from the 25th to 27th of April 2025. We would recall that according to the Jubilee calendar, the Jubilee of Adolescents was to take place during the weekend of the Easter Octave to be concluded on Divine Mercy Sunday. This event, the first of its kind in the history of the Church's Jubilee, was dedicated specially to teenagers and young people all over the world who would be opportune to have a unique experience of faith, spiritual growth, and intercultural exchange, and was to be concluded with the canonization of Blessed Carlos Acutis, an Italian teenager from Assisi, who was beatified in the year 2020 for his heroic work of evangelization in using his computer skills to create an online database of Eucharistic miracles around the world. Having died of leukemia in 2006 at the age of 15, he was named a Venerable in 2018 for his virtuous life and beatified in 2020 after a miracle was attributed to him. Hence, he was to be canonized by the Holy Father on 27th April as a model to the young people, especially those who were to attend the Jubilee in Rome. Due to the death of the Holy Father Pope Francis, the canonization was postponed till further notice, but not the Jubilee, as many young people had already arrived in Rome from all over the globe prior to the death of the Holy Father. The events began officially on Friday, 25th April, with the arrival of the different groups of about 20,000 young people from the different countries of the world. With an atmosphere of prayer and mourning for the death of the Pope, they passed through the Holy Door of St. Peter's and at the same time saying their last farewell to the late Pope, whose coffin was in the Basilica for veneration. After this, they all went towards the areas around the Basilica of St. Peter's and Paul, EUR, Rome, to take part in the prayer of Via Lucis, a form of meditations with different stations on the resurrection of Christ. In welcoming and addressing the young people, Cardinal Rino Fisichella, Pro-Prefect of the Dicastery for Evangelization, said, "Let us experience the joy of your Jubilee of young people by retracing some of the stages of the journey of the risen Christ with his disciples. Our life is full of joy and sorrows, questions and queries, but also expectations and hope." On Saturday, 26th April 2025, many of the teenagers with their leaders participated in the funeral of Pope Francis in silence and meditation, and at the evening of the same day had the dialogues in the city hosted in various piazzas of Rome. On Sunday, 27th April, the second Sunday of Easter and the Divine Mercy Sunday, the event came to a conclusion with a Holy Mass celebrated for Pope Francis at the Basilica Square. During his homily, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, who presided over the Mass, said to the young ones, "The shepherd that the Lord gave to his people, Pope Francis, has ended his earthly life and left us. And yet the Gospel tells us that, precisely in these moments of darkness, the Lord comes to us with the light of resurrection to illuminate our hearts. The joy of Easter, which sustains us in the hour of trial and sadness, is something that is imprinted above all on your faces who have come from all over the world to celebrate the Jubilee. I address a special greeting to you, hoping you can feel the embrace of the Church and the affection of Pope Francis, who would have liked to meet you, look you in the eye, and greet you." The Holy Mass came to a successful completion as the young ones, "We are happy to have participated in this mystery of the Church and also to be present to bid the Holy Father farewell." Talking about the Holy Father Pope Francis, they expressed their joy on the influence he had in their lives, especially in remembering them as part of the Jubilee celebrants, as a promise to emulate these virtues of his. And this brings us to the end of today's program, Pilgrims of Hope, as we continue to pray for the peaceful repose of Pope Francis and the grace to be hopeful, even in the most difficult and confusing events of our lives. I hope to meet you all at the same time, same station, next week. I still remain your companion on the journey, Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe. Jubilee Prayer.
Father in heaven, may the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.